Good morning. My name is Robbie, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Crédito Real's first quarter 2016 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, February 27, 2016. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 5228 9753. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. Today from Crédito Real in Mexico City, we have Mr. Angel Romano, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jonathan Rangel, Investor Relations Officer. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Romano.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking part in our quarterly conference call. The exceptional results that we disclosed for this first quarter will mark the trend that Crédito Real will follow during this 2016. We exceeded our own expectations in all the indicators that we follow at the company. Our loan portfolio grew by a 45% year over year, given a higher than expected penetration in the pensioners market through our payroll discount product, healthy and steady growth at our Don Carro used car branches in the United States, and our investments both in AFS Financial and Instacredit in Costa Rica. Net income increased 24% from the same period last year, while return on equity reached 23%. We continue to serve customers that are normally ignored by traditional financial institutions in the regions where we operate. Nowadays, our customer base amounts to over 750,000 clients, roughly 50% more than the previous year. This translated into a loan book growth of similar proportions. It's very important to mention that organically, our portfolio grew by almost 22%, and the rest was inorganic growth. As we have stated in the past, diversification is at our core. Proof of this is that while our payroll business continued to be the most visible part of the portfolio as a percentage of the total loan book, it has decreased its participation from 78% last year to 64% by the end of this quarter. Important to mention is that even with this participation in the whole company decreasing more than 10%, the payroll business grew by almost 25% compared to the previous year. Nowadays, the distributors have a combined sales force of nearly 5,000 promoters on the streets. The pensioner segment continues to be a very dynamic and still with great growth potential ahead. We are very excited about our foreign businesses. As of these days, we have assets denominated in U.S. dollars worth more than $100 million. By itself, these assets provide us with an invaluable natural hedge against any sharp movement in the FX. Furthermore, they bring us an income denominated in one of the strongest currencies of the world. On the same note, we also have the equivalent to $160 million in Costa Rican colones through our investment in Instacredit. The colones have proved to be one of the most stable currencies against the U.S. dollar in Latin America, as it has suffered no devaluations in the past years, given that Costa Rica is mainly a U.S. dollar-based economy. Our used car business in the United States will continue to be an important driver of growth. The AFS acquisition that we announced last October has proved to be a reliable platform to expand our presence in over 30 states, but more importantly, with state-of-the-art technology and first-in-class management. Last February, we announced the acquisition of a 70% stake in Instacredit. It was a key element for loan book expansion this quarter. In the near future, a very important part of our portfolio and income will come from Central America. Once again, according to our business model, we partnered with an outstanding businessman with a proven track record of 15 years that built this outstanding credit platform from scratch. InstaCredit focuses its commercial efforts on the middle to low-income segment of the population who are underserved by the traditional banking system. They have a very well-recognized brand with a multi-product platform, and most of the management team has been with the company since it was started over 15 years ago. InstaCredit today has more than 60 branches located throughout Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and Panama, with a large base of customers that have proven very loyal to the brand. We have very interesting growth plans throughout the area that will add positively to the overall Crédito Real growth strategy in the near future. 2016 has been very challenging in terms of funding, especially in the very volatile environment we had at the beginning of the year. Our debt profile starting 2016 showed that a big proportion of our total debt needed to be either refinanced or amortized. As of this day, we have managed to refinance over half of our 2016 maturities and at a lower cost compared to the previous year. Even though we increased our leverage during the first quarter, our capitalization ratio continues to be at a very healthy level. Consistent with this, Fitch Ratings recently rated us BB+ on its global scale with a stable perspective. I would like to end my remarks today by saying that even as we see a challenging business environment, both in Mexico and abroad, we feel very comfortable with the current structure and potential of our platform to keep delivering outstanding results to all of our shareholders. Thank you again for joining us, and now I leave you with Carlos Ochoa, our CFO.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding loan portfolio, our loan portfolio increased by 45% to reach 20.7 billion pesos at the end of the first quarter 16, compared to 14.3 million billion recorded at the end of first quarter the previous year. The organic growth was approximately 18%, which was driven by payroll and used car business, and the inorganic growth represented 27%, boosted by the consolidation of AFS and InstaCredit. We keep supporting our payroll portfolio growth with pensioners. This quarter represented 18% of total origination. Also, nearly 85% of our new loans came from the three main distributors in which we own equity. Overall, the payroll portfolio grew by almost 20% year over year. Our SME portfolio increased by 6.8% to end up the quarter with a balance of 1.4 billion. During this quarter, we recovered some of the past due loans of 2015, and this explains the better NPL ratio of the SME portfolio. Due to seasonality effect, the first quarter was less dynamic, and our product has a short-term duration because it attends SME's working capital needs. Our durable good portfolio decreased by 5% compared to the first quarter 15, as we have privileged asset quality over growth. In general, we maintain tight credit policies. As we have mentioned last quarter, we decided to gradually exit from the traditional durable good business, considering the industry has become more mature and highly competitive. In the group loan business, our operators Contigo and Somos Uno reported a 38% loan book portfolio expansion. As we have previously disclosed, our balance sheet only recognizes the funding provided to our partners, in which we own equity. The group loan portfolio in our balance sheet reached 315 million pesos, but the loan portfolio of our partners reached 557 million. Our group loan partners also maintain asset quality, as seen in the 1.1 NPL ratio reported this quarter. As of the first quarter of 16, our group loan network serves almost 170,000 active customers. In terms of origination, we post a 59% growth, and without the InstaCredit consolidation, it increased by 52%. Payroll loans origination were 57% higher in the first quarter of 2016 compared to the same quarter last year. The SMEs group loans and used car origination also experienced a double-digit growth, and in the case of used car business, even higher than that. Non-performing loan portfolio was 2.7% this quarter compared to the 2.2% ratio last year. However, it has a downward trend over the last couple of quarters. SME business NPL ratio reached 1.4%, and this figure indicates a significant improvement when we compare it to last year's first quarter 3.9 NPL ratio. The increase in the NPL of the company was mainly caused by the consolidation of AFS and InstaCredit. Overall, the NPL is in line with the 2-3% long-term objective as we attain larger diversification. Allowance for loan losses for this quarter was 804 million with a 1.4 times coverage ratio. The allowance for loan losses increased in line with the non-performing loans increase. When it comes to the interest income, during this quarter we reached interest income of 1.4, nearly 1.339 billion, increasing 42% compared to the first quarter of 2015. InstaCredit contributed to 12% of consolidated interest income. Nevertheless, it reported only 1.3 months where we were recognized in this quarter. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 41% to one billion, roughly over 1 billion, showing interest income growth and decreasing funding costs. InstaCredit contributed to 12% of consolidated financial margin. Regarding funding, we improved our average funding cost from 6.7 reported on the first quarter previous year to 6.6 in the first quarter this year. Sequentially, the increase in the reference rate can be seen in our funding cost that is partially mitigated since around 50% of our total debt is fixed. Provision for loan losses reached 47 million this quarter. In terms of cost of risk, we reported at 0.9%, which compared to the 2.2 reported in the first quarter of 2015. Within the following quarters, we expect a gradual increase in our cost of risk because of portfolio diversification. Administrative expenses reached 564 million pesos during the first quarter of 2016, showing a 137.7% increase when compared to the previous year. The increase is mainly driven by the consolidation of AFS acceptance, resolvers, and InstaCredit expenses. All these three together, they combined, it contributed with a 45.5% increase. Participation in the results of associates reached a minus 17 million pesos compared to the 18 million recorded during the first quarter of the previous year. The effect of InstaCredit's earnings offset the earnings in the associates recognized under the equity method, resulting in a negative figure for this quarter. In terms of net income, it increased by 24% this quarter, reaching 406 million compared to the 326 million in the first quarter of 2015. InstaCredit's net income contributed 7% of Crédito Real's consolidated earnings. Key financial ratios. During the quarter, we achieved a return on assets of 5.7% and a return on equity of 22.8%, which compares with the 6.5% and 23.7% reported in first quarter of 2015. The return on average assets reflects the effect of the assets of InstaCredit and only 1.3 months during the quarter of InstaCredit's earnings. Efficiency ratio. The quarter's efficiency ratio reached 51% compared to 34% in the first quarter 2015, reflecting the consolidation of InstaCredit, AFS, and Resuelve expenses. Our capitalization index reached 36% compared to 40% registered at the end of the first quarter the previous year. This is due to an indebtedness increase to finance our recent acquisitions. I want to remark that during the quarter, we issued 1 billion peso note in the local market. This is the second largest issuance for Crédito Real in the Mexican market, which was positively received by investors. Furthermore, we received the approval of the Mexican National Banking Commission for increasing by 2.5 billion pesos the long-term Seguros program. These actions enhance the refinancing debt capabilities of the company. Finally, and in order to increase visibility among investors and to enrich views through different agencies, Crédito Real commenced a rating process with Fitch Ratings. Fitch assigned foreign and local currency long-term issuer default ratings of BB+ on a global scale, and Fitch also assigned a national long and term rating at A+ and F1 next, respectively, to Crédito Real on a local scale. The long-term rating outlook is stable. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you.
Operator?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, it is *1. We'll pause just a moment to assemble a queue. First, Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos, and thanks for taking my call and congrats on your results. Given the recent acquisitions, I believe it will be very helpful to summarize or have more color on what to expect in terms of your NII growth, fees, and OPEX. So OPEX was high by including the acquisitions of Resuelve and Instacredit. You already disclosed that roughly 19% of the OPEX was Instacredit. How much was Resuelve to Deuda? Also, on a net basis, Instacredit accounted about 7% of the consolidated net earnings. Can you provide how much was from Resuelve to Deuda? Also, I noticed an improvement in NPLs, although we recognize they should be trending up according to your guidance. But given the first quarter, can we expect better NPLs and cost of risk in 2016 from your previous guidance? And finally, after the strong results, can we expect now the mid-high end of your net income guidance? I mean, between 17 and 20% year over year and an ROE above 20%. Thank you.
Hello, Ernesto. This is Angel. I'll try to answer part of your questions. About the growth strategy and what we expect about net earnings in the year, we are also very happy with the results for this quarter, and we do expect that our growth for the year will be above the 15 to 18% mark, and we also expect ROE to be over 22% for the year. Now, I will let Carlos tell you about the OPEX numbers as well as the NPLs.
Hi, Ernesto. How are you? In terms of the OPEX, what we would expect in terms of the even if the increase on the total seems brutal, I mean, with 153% increase year over year, this is mostly explained by the consolidation, especially when you are moving to a different business model, which is very visible in the Instacredit transaction, which they rely a lot on the commercial side of the business. Only the Instacredit transaction for the 1.3 months that we have the Instacredit since we consolidated, that represented over 100 million pesos in the total expenses of the quarter. When it comes to, just to give you an idea, Instacredit, they by itself, they have like 1,700 employees that has an impact on the expenses side. When it comes to Resuelve, that's an interesting point because the expenses of Resuelve during the first quarter, they amounted close to the 125 million pesos. And the thing with Resuelve is that the income that they provide to the company is not on the interest line, but it's on the commission side of the business, on the commission side of the P&L. So it has an effect, a negative effect on the efficiency ratio. But if you isolate that effect, on the part of the commission, the income, and on the part of the expenses, the efficiency ratio for Crédito Real would be more on the 45% range, you know, because as I was telling you, it has no effect on the financial margin. So overall, we would say that the efficiency ratio should remain on the 50% range. And this is due because we are moving towards being more active on the commercial side with the consolidations of InstaCredit and AFS, which is a similar case. When it comes to the M&A, as you were asking, I mean, we disclosed that on our previous call that we are, I mean, this year, as of the rest of this year, we're going to focus our efforts on consolidated these transactions, and we don't have anything else on the M&A pipeline for this year. We're going to be just consolidating the transactions that we've made.
In terms of NPLs and cost of risk.
Yeah, the NPLs, I mean, the coverage ratio of the NPLs remained stable over the year. I mean, it's pretty comparable. If you look at the previous year, it was on a 1.4%, the coverage ratio, 1.4%. And it's also similar to what we have in the previous year. The previous year was 1.43%. So we should expect to remain on that same level. You know, this is according it's consistent with the asset quality, which is still on the range of 2.7-2.5%.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Ernesto.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you. And we'll go next to Tito Labarta with Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. A couple of questions. First, I wanted to understand a little bit the cost of risk this quarter, which is only, you know, 1% of loans. I understand there was some improvement in some lines in your NPL ratio, but within the credit, you know, the NPL ratio did pick up quite a bit. So, you know, if you could maybe help me understand that, you know, why the provisions were so low this quarter, and you know how that's going to evolve going forward. I heard you say some gradual increase, but I think in the past you said, you know, close to 3% the cost of risk more or less. Because also, you know, the coverage ratio was stable compared to last year, but compared to fourth quarter, it increased almost 30%. It was 115, went to 145%. So not sure I understand that. Is that because, I guess, InstaCredit maybe had some excess reserves that you were able to use? So if you can maybe give some more color on that. And then my second question, go ahead. I can ask my second question later if you answer that.
Okay, yes. I mean, in terms of the NPLs, you see a rather low in terms of percentage with the 0.9% that you mentioned. But the thing is that when we acquired the InstaCredit transaction, they have a higher level of provisions. So just to give you an idea, the level of provision they kept before the transaction, it was on the 15 or even higher level of provision. However, according to the CNBV methodology for computing the provisions, we didn't need that much money. So basically what we did is that in terms of we lowered that 15% to a 12%, which is as the CMB consistent with the CMBB regulation here in Mexico, and that should explain the 2.2 to the 0.9%. But again, I think that the most important part of this thing is, as I was telling Ernesto before, is that the coverage ratio remains at a healthy level of 143% or something in the range of 143% to within that range. So basically that would be the explanation, Tito.
The 15% that went to 12%, you're saying that was their cost of risk that that fell? I wasn't clear what that number represented.
No, 15% was the provisioning that they have.
So 15% of average loans that went through the income statement, or?
Yes, Instacredit used to provision 15% of the total loans as they were originated. And today, according to the CNBV rules and to what we've seen of the portfolio, we are only provisioning 12%. So these three percentage points is what you see on the numbers changing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So their cost of risk is coming down. I guess they were over provisioning. But then also, I guess in terms of your cost of risk going forward, should that go back to around the 3% level once, you know, I guess this was kind of like a one-time adjustment, I assume, no?
No, it should remain on the 3% level. And actually, we would think that this would be within the 3% to the 4% level. That should move towards that trend.
Okay, okay, great. So then my second question, you know, Angel, you mentioned that you expect the growth could be above the guidance you gave of 15 to 18%. An ROE above 22%, but you know, if the cost of risk is between 3 to 4%, you know, your ROE would be well below 20% this quarter. So I want to understand better, you know, how you would beat the guidance. Were there some additional expenses that were one time, or how would you get there?
I would say that the ROE already considers the cost of risk. So I would say that even with a higher cost of risk within the range, as I was telling you, that from 3 to 4%, that's already included in the arrow within the guidance, right?
Sorry, I don't mean to harp on this, but if your cost of risk this quarter was 3%, your ROE would have been 17%, no?
No,
I'm not getting what you say, Tito. I'm sorry.
Okay, because you provisioned about 1% of loans, right? 47 million pesos in provisions. If your cost of risk was, say, 3%, your provisioning level would have been about 150 million in the quarter. So therefore, your ROE would have been a lot lower than it was.
So you're saying that, just to make sure that I understand your question, you're saying that with a higher... that this ROE at this level is because the decrease in the provisioning, just to put it that way?
Yes.
We definitely don't agree with that one, because we have to think that the Instacredit, we consolidated Instacredit on February 22nd. So basically we still have like half of the quarter. On the one hand, we have the portfolio, the total portfolio, and on the other hand, we have only the income for roughly half of the quarter.
Only 5 weeks.
So basically, what we would say is that the ROE will grow for the next quarter once that we have the total income for the whole quarter.
Okay, maybe we can take it offline. I can give you a call afterwards. You can go through it a little bit further.
Yeah, but I think that what Carlos just explained is where you get your answer. We only generated income for Instacredit for 5 weeks this quarter.
Right.
The portfolio, you got it as a whole. And the provisioning, you got it as a whole. So the next quarter, you'll be able to see the whole benefits on the income side, and you still have the same portfolio and the same amount of provisioning. So your ROE should go up, not down.
Okay, I'll follow up with you afterwards. Just maybe I'm not understanding something. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Victor Galliano with Barclays.
Hi there. Thank you. Just a quick follow up from me on credit quality, really. Just to sort of make this absolutely clear, what do you see in terms of how the NPLs evolve going forward, especially with the inclusion of Instacredit now, which is obviously at a higher NPL level? Is there anything structurally you can do there to reduce NPLs at InstaCredit. Do you have some plans there to bring that more into line with your core business? Thank you.
Hello, David, and thank you for your question. We really don't see a need to put in InstaCredit's NPLs lower. It's a very efficient business. It has an ROA above 10%, which is above the average of Crédito Reales. So we believe that the risk-reward proposition of InstaCredit is very efficient and very well managed. So we really don't need to, we really don't see the need to make any changes and to pull that down. It'll bring our overall NPLs a little bit up, but it will certainly help on the total ROA of the company, which is the measure we follow the most.
Okay, so, I mean, in terms of, as you say, your risk-reward, obviously this is a higher-yielding business in terms of loans, high-yielding in terms of assets, and so structurally going forward, we should expect NPLs to be in this sort of range at a sort of aggregate level of around 2.7, 2.8. Is that a reasonable expectation?
Yes, we believe that we will stay within our guidance of 2 and 3%.
Okay, thank you.
As a whole company. Thank you.
Thank you, and once again, it is star one if you have a question. We'll go next to David Lee with Blizzard Investors.
Can you guys talk a little about, so organically, the top line grew about 18, the loan portfolio grew about 18%, right? Can you talk a little bit about, like, what would the operating income or pre-tax earnings or pre-tax, pre-provision earnings be, excluding acquisitions, so we can get a sense of the comparable of the core business, how it's performing?
Yes, the core business grew about 17% in net income, 17 to 18%. And the rest came from our acquisitions, mainly from InstaCredit. But as we said before, InstaCredit was only 5 weeks in our P&L. So we don't have the full quarter. It should become a little bit more of net income in the next quarter. But organically, with the businesses we started the quarter, growth was between 17 and 18%.
Okay. And on top of that, can you just help me understand some of the balance sheet movements? Because, your cash... balance sheet cash has moved up. Your investment securities have come down. I know they're not a significant amount. Can you just help me understand what's going on there?
In terms of cash, the main change was due to the issuance that we talked about earlier, the largest issuance in the Mexican market. That was done on March 31st. By April 14, we amortized a big proportion of that one. So that came down dramatically within a couple of weeks. So that should explain the hike in the cash part of the balance sheet.
Okay. And also on, I'm curious about a used car NPL. I understand it includes the acquisition. Is this something we should think about over time? This 3.3% NPL on a used car business, or over time this would continue to come down, but it will be normalized at a higher level because of the mix change.
As we rely more on in terms of the used car business, as we rely more on the business in the States, which tend to have higher NPLs, we would expect this to be within that range. However, I mean, as Angel was telling when talking about InstaCredit, we focus on the ROA part of the business. And as long as they have ROAs above the 5%, we feel comfortable with that level of NPLs. If you think talking about the Mexican business in the used cars, the NPLs are way lower than that, in the same range, consistent with the same range that you've seen in the past quarters, something below the 1% level. This was mostly explained by the consolidation of the used car business in the U.S.
Okay. And going back on the payroll business, you know, obviously the payroll business, the NPL have basically gone up, you know, year on year for quite some time now. Obviously there's a little bit of mix change, you will understand, and there's some historical mixes as well. Can you talk a little bit about when should we start seeing the payroll business where the NPL to actually come down, or you think because the current mix you guys have, because of pensioners, that the NPL was permanently be higher at this level?
No, I would say it would be the opposite. As we rely more on the pensioners part of the business, this should come down or it will remain stable. You know, the effect of this one, as we mentioned on the previous call, is due to the state level government agencies we work with. However, as of these days, it's like 75% or even higher than that. That with our payroll businesses on the federal level agencies, which are more reliable, and the asset quality is way higher. That's why we rely more on those.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks. I jump back into the queue.
Thank you. Once again, at this time, if you have a question, please press star 1. Back to David Lee with Lizard Investors.
Hey, one more question. So I understand Q1, you have the commission fees charge, right? And then you have much higher incremental, you know, admin and promotion expenses on operating. Can you just talk a little about, like, help me understand how much of this is due to really the acquisition? How much of it is really kind of the organic business that's not associated with the new stuff that you guys recently added?
Really, our operating expenses organically haven't grown. We have been able to maintain them stable, even to lower them a bit as we get out of the traditional business, of the durable good financing business. We've let a lot of people go in our credit analysis and collection side. And so all of what you see is the consolidation of the other businesses. Remember that we used to have minority stakes in all the payroll operators, and then we didn't consolidate their expenses on our balance sheet. But today, AFS, Don Carro, and Instacredit, we own a majority stake, so all of their expenses are consolidated on our P&L, and that's the big growth you see there.
Okay, terrific. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Natalia Corfield with J.P. Morgan.
Good morning. Thank you for the question. And I have two questions. One is with regards to your debt amortization schedule, and the other one, it's about NPL. The one about the debt amortization, your debt profile amortization got worse in this quarter because of the loan with Credit Suisse. You mentioned that you have managed to refinance 50% of your maturities in 2016. If you could give us a little bit of more color of how you did it, what type of credit lines you have right now, that would be great. My second question with regards to asset quality is about the payroll lending NPL ratio of 2.5%. I had understood that this ratio had increased in the last quarter of 2015 due to seasonal reasons, and I was expecting a decline. So I'm wondering why it remains stable, and if you could give us some explanation, that would be very helpful as well. Thank you.
Well, on the debt profile, I could tell you something. You know, on a strategic level, what we intended to do, and especially given the FX volatility, what we wanted to do from the beginning is to substitute U.S. dollar denominated debt for Mexican pesos denominated debt. So basically, that's what we were looking for, that issuance, for larger issuance in the Mexican market. So during the first quarter and half of April, which haven't been disclosed yet, during the first quarter, basically, all the amortizations, the largest amortizations came from the largest amortization was 500 million pesos in the long term, in a long term Cebures program, which we managed to not only refinance that one, but to increase that one in, to increase it in size. On the other hand, a lot of, a big proportion of the amortizations were on the short-term notes, and those are very dynamic, and the investor base that we have is very reliable, and that's something that we do on a, on a, on a, on a monthly basis with no problem. And, in terms of the bank lines, what we are intended to do, we refinance the bank lines that we have, and, but again, I mean, the biggest proportion of that one was the amortization for the Credit Suisse facility that we recently did. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Well, I understand that your last amortization in the first quarter and in the first half of April was 500 million pesos, and that was managed to refinance that one.
Yes.
But I think my question is, you still have you have for the entire year 5.8 billion pesos in, and I'm wondering how are you gonna amortize if your bank lines. What do you have available for you?
Well, first, that almost 6 billion pesos, that's for, I mean, some part of it has already refinanced to this day. So it's less than that, right? On the other hand, I mean, the most complicated part of that one is an amortization of $330 million, which is due in October, I think for Credit Suisse facility, and basically what we rely to do is to go to the Mexican market again, and which is basically the same thing we did during the first quarter. Also, very important to mention that this 5.7 billion pesos, they include the debt of AFS and InstaCredit. And most of them, they are revolving lines. Most of those of that debt are revolving, so we don't see any issues with that one.
Okay, and with regards to your funding cost, how is it evolving?
So this quarter is 6.6 compared to the 6.7 of the previous year. And there was an increase in that one, if you compare that one to the previous quarter, and this is due to the Credit Suisse facility we got to get to acquire the InstaCredit transaction. I think very important to mention is that over half of our debt, or roughly half of our debt, is fixed in pesos. So basically that would minimize the effect that would minimize the impact of a hike in interest rates. But even the increase from the previous quarter to this quarter is the combination of the increase in the reference rate and also the facility that we got.
Okay.
I really would like to emphasize on the part that the maturity, the average, the debt profile. You know, we don't have a mismatch between the debt and the asset. While the average tenure for the debt is still at 2.1 years, excuse me, the asset remains in a range of 1.7 years. So basically that's what we focus the most when it comes to the debt.
All right. Thank you. And if you could address the one on asset quality, that would be great as well.
Hi, Natalia. This is Jonathan. We reported a 2.5% last quarter in the payroll business at the NPL level. This quarter, we reported a similar figure. The last quarter, what we observed, as Carlos said before, is that some state-level agencies got some delays in the payment. Regarding that, what we decided to do looking forward is to focus on more federal level entities to focus our growth mostly on those agencies, as they are more reliable than the state level ones. Also, what you have here is that this is an effect also of seasonality in the case of December. Part of it is explained by that. We also recently got some news that there is a new law that was proposed in order to require all the state level entities to finish their debt before the government get out of the current. So we think that it's something positive for Federal and for other players in the payroll sector. Looking forward, we think that this will help us to normalize the situation. So if you consider that we are going to be able to collect those state level loans that are already delayed, probably the NPL will flow between 2.3 to 2.5%. So that's the level where we feel comfortable. And I insist, if we compare that NPL with the rest of the sector in the payroll business, those are above the 3%. So we are comfortable with that level.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you. We'll go next to Victor Galliano with Barclays.
Yes. Just a quick follow-up from me on InstaCredit. Are there any plans there to buy out the 30% minorities?
Could you repeat the question, Victor, please?
Yeah. You own 70% in InstaCredit. Is there any plan to take your shareholding to 100%?
We have an option that can be exercised beginning on year 6, beginning on year 5, and it's 10% in year 5, 10% year 6, 10% year 7. And it's too soon to say what's going to happen. Okay. But today we're very happy with our partner there, and we love that he's managing the business and running the business still with us.
Okay, yeah, so that's a few years out. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
With that, we have no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn it back over to management for any additional or closing comments.
Well, just say thank you again for joining our call, and we'll see you next quarter. Thank you.
That does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation.